All right, so I'm joined here in studio by Pontiac M&A Andre Fortin to discuss a little bit about the Quebec Liberal Party's leadership race that just wrapped up. Andre, first off, what's your reactions to the selection of Mr. Pablo Rodriguez as the new leader for the Liberal Party of Quebec?
Well, we just had the tightest race in the history of the Liberal Party of Quebec. Mr. Rodriguez won the race 52-48, roughly, and as divisive as these races can be sometimes, I know Mr. Rodriguez to be somebody who is who can rally people afterwards. And rallying a party doesn't just mean rallying people; it means rallying ideas that the various camps may have had. So I'm sure he'll be able to inspire himself from propositions that were made by other candidates. I supported Charles Milliard in that race, and while he finished second, he did have some ideas that were near and dear to my heart, namely having different platforms for different regions. The needs of people here in our regions are not the needs of people in the Gaspésie or in Montreal or elsewhere. So having ideas that are tailored to the needs of regions hopefully is something that can make its way into our platform.
How would you compare Mr. Rodriguez and Mr. Milliard as leaders?
Well, they're very different in the fact that one had a very high notoriety, people knew Mr. Rodriguez from his years on Parliament Hill when he was a minister. Mr. Milliard came at this leadership race with little political experience, but significant background in economics and dealing with Quebec small businesses. So their backgrounds are very different. But I think in terms of their approach, they're both people who are in it for the right reasons, who want to find the right solutions for the common good. And in our regions, that means focusing on the economy. It means focusing on healthcare. The UDOA is and always has been almost the ground zero for healthcare in Quebec. It seems that we struggle more than other places to find our way, and we know the reasons why, because the Ontario hospitals are so attractive to a lot of our workers. So it'll be interesting to see what Mr. Rodriguez proposes for the next campaign, but I've got issues that I certainly will put on his plate and discuss very quickly, because the needs of our regions are unavoidable for the Liberal Party of Quebec.
And how do you see it backing a campaign for a leadership candidate that didn't actually succeed, but came second at a fairly close second? Do you see it as advantageous or like a disadvantage that you sort of went against the current leadership, or the fact that you got so much of a response from the membership, does that put you in good stead, I think, going forward here with your ideas?
I think Mr. Rodriguez's first mandate is really to bring everybody back together. There have been leadership races in the past where it's been acrimonious, it's been difficult, it's created tensions between colleagues. I didn't feel that in this campaign at all. I think both camps respected the other team, knew that they were essential almost to the race. You have to have a real race in these things in order to generate some support for the party. And so I don't see it as a plus or a minus. I think if we have a leader in place who will want to rally people, he'll want to bring people on board and give them important responsibilities, hear their ideas, no matter what camp they were in. So, I've known Mr. Rodriguez for nearly 20 years, and I certainly think that's what he's going to do.
Gotcha. And do you foresee any changes to your, what would you call it, the shadow cabinet there, or your responsibilities in the opposition there? Are you staying on as a health critic? And
yeah, those aren't discussions that we've had just yet. I had a first call with Mr. Rodriguez yesterday, but I think he's still planning out his staff, his team. We're going to have a caucus meeting this week as well. And I think from there, he'll get to learn all of the assets of all the caucus members and see who fits where best. I certainly appreciate the roles that I have right now. Healthcare is probably the number one issue for most people here. Agriculture, forestry, which I'm critic for, is top of mind for a lot of Pontiacers as well. So I enjoy what I do, and I'll make that known to the new leadership.
And moving ahead here, the next provincial race isn't until next fall, I believe. So how do you see, I guess, the priorities of your party going forward here now that the CAQ seems like they're kind of on the decline in the polls? The PQ is ascendant from what we've seen. Does that change your priorities as the Liberal Party?
I think it changes the way people approach us. I felt that people in general were a lot more receptive to our ideas. And so the fact that we have a leader that comes into that to that moment where people are open to listening to us, seeing what we are going to put on the table, it is probably a positive sign. It seemed like this leadership race lasted forever and ever. It's probably the longest race of any political party out there. But the timing of the new leader coming in, where people are listening to us and open to it because the CAQ is somewhat discrediting themselves and the PQ is not an option for a lot of people, gives us some space and gives us the opportunity to reconnect with a lot of people. So I'm thinking the next year or so until the election, that's what we got to be focused on, is making concrete propositions that will reach people on healthcare, education, transportation, daycares, the everyday bread and butter issues that matter to Quebecers.
And what do you make of Mr. Rodriguez? I believe he stated earlier this week that he would be not seeking a seat in a by-election, but be waiting until next fall to get a seat in the National Assembly. What do you make of that?
I want my leader focused on talking to Quebecers, hearing what they have to say, but making propositions to them. I want him traveling Quebec. I want to see him here in the MRC Pontiac and in other places right across the province, spending time debating with Mr. Legault. I'm not sure it's the most useful way to spend his time right now. So, and fighting a by-election also would be a great use, or a great, would use a lot of his time. So, in the short period that he has in front of him, he's got to go out there and convince Quebecers. And so fighting a by-election is probably not the priority. And I think he made the right decision on that.
And as far as provincial issues here, the National Assembly is currently in recess, from what I understand. But can you give maybe a bit of an overview of the previous session here as well? Earlier this week or last week, I believe, there was a demonstration down in Gatineau regarding specialty doctors in the region. I guess this is the second summer in a row they're sounding the alarm about the upcoming holiday season and what it means for short staffing in our medical facilities here. But I guess touch on some of the ongoing provincial issues right now.
Well, the big thing that happened during the last parliamentary session was Quebec losing its credit rating, which may seem like nothing to a lot of people who listen to us, but it means that we have less money in our disposal. It means it's going to cost more to borrow for the government of Quebec. And as a result of that, government is cutting in just about every sector there is. Just yesterday, they came out with massive cuts in education. And if there's one thing that Quebecers ask us not to cut in, is probably healthcare and education. And yet that seems to be the two areas that are most affected by government cuts right now. So it's a session where the CEQ seems to have gone away from the priorities of Quebecers and has gone back on its word that it would never cut in those two areas. Now our schools are going to have to make some very tough decisions as to the services that are given to students. And on healthcare, there's going to be one, maybe two of the operating rooms at the Gatineau Hospital that are going to be open this summer. This isn't new. Government went through exactly this last year. They had a year to fix this. They told us, oh, Santé Quebec, this new agency that we've created and that we're paying a lot of money for, is going to fix that type of issue. And they haven't done that. Government had an opportunity to prove that this new model would work. And unfortunately, we're seeing the same kinds of things happening over and over again. So for the head of the specialty doctors in Quebec to come to the Outaouais to say, hold on, there's something happening in this region that is way worse than anywhere else in the province, and sounding the alarm and telling the CAQ government, do something here, because people are not getting their surgeries. People are getting massive delays in terms of surgeries. They have to go to other regions. They have to go to Ottawa. It's not conducive to the type of healthcare that we should want to offer Quebecers and that those doctors want to offer their patients.
And just changing gears here to a different provincial file there, the new flood maps for the province as well are anticipated to come out, I believe it's next year, and it seems like there's about a third of an increase in the number of homes added to these zones. Can you talk a little bit about the process that this has been a long-standing process since the floods of 2017, 2019 as well, but so where this file's at, what people can expect?
So government has been looking at the regulations for flood maps, meaning what you can do if you're in a high-risk flood area, a medium-risk flood area, a low-risk flood area. And That's normal. Government has to look at that. But the problem with it now is that nobody knows what zone they're in. So the government's saying we'll add 30% of, or we'll increase the flood maps by 30%. More residents will become affected by this. But nobody knows if that's them. Nobody knows what the flood maps themselves will look like. And we know from past experience that some people who never got flooded got included in previous flood maps. Some people who got flooded repeatedly weren't in the maps. And so we're kind of going about this backwards. Publish the maps first. Give people an opportunity to be heard on what it means for the biggest investment in their lifetime, probably their home, and then go from there. Now, people are not speaking out against or in favor of the regulations because they don't know if they're going to be affected or not. So the one thing, given this context, that government absolutely has to do is, when the maps come out, give people a way to contest that, to challenge the mapping that's being done. Because if you're living on top of a hill, you shouldn't be included in the same flood map as low-lying areas. So that there has to be a way for people to challenge the mapping that's done, because we know there's going to be mistakes in it when they come out.
And do we know more precisely when they're going to come out? I know it's next year, but is the spring, summer?
It depends on various municipalities. Montreal's already come out with some maps because they were worried about the reverse order of the process. The MRC here has asked the city of Gatineau to do the maps for them. I think they're probably going to come out with the city of Gatineau maps before doing the various MRCs in the area, but I suspect sometime in 2026 as well, when we'll have a better idea of what it means for everybody here locally.
Yeah, because could potentially have quite a bit on certain waterfront municipalities, you know, homeowners getting flood insurance, from what I understand as well. It has an impact on that as well, but this
is quite
varied impact. Yeah.
There's going to be a big impact on both people themselves. Will they be able to get insurance? Will the value of their home drop? Will they be able to resell their homes down the road? And there are municipalities too that'll be impacted. I think most of the town of Cuyo is in the is currently in the flood maps. And if they were to expand them, then what does that mean for the development of the municipality? What does that mean for the future of the town? Will people be able to build new homes? Will there be new projects there, or will everything be at a standstill? That's the kind of thing that we have to be, and municipalities have to be worried about right now. The municipalities too are making, and municipalities across Quebec are making known their points to government. And I suspect we're going to hear about this a lot more until the maps come out next year.
Andre, I want to thank you for your time. Thanks for stopping by the studio here. If there's anything else that you wanted to let our listeners know about what you're getting up to here during the recess there from the National Assembly, or just general goings on here in the provincial politics, I'll give you the last word here.
Just one thing, maybe, the summer period for me is always a time to reconnect with people. So I'll be out at various events, festivals throughout the summer. If you have something that you're concerned about, do not hesitate to come see me. I am useless if I don't hear from citizens. My main point is hearing from people, or the main way I can do my job is hearing from people, and then try to transform that into policy and government and challenge government on what they're doing. So don't hesitate to come say what's on your mind.